Now, I'm joined in studio by Brendan McGurk and Gareth Stack. Good morning to you both.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks very much for coming in this morning. You are the, well, two of the main guys behind Analog Magazine. Brendan, you're the editor, and Gareth, you're the web designer and editor, yes?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
A lot of people will have seen Analog, the first issue, which came out a good few months ago now, and there was a lot of talk about it, very, very good reaction to it, and the second one has just come out. Can I start by asking you a little bit about how Analog started and what was the kind of philosophy behind it?
Well, we both worked in the radio station in Trinity together, and we've been working there for a few years, and we kind of thought, well, there's so much music out there, you know, maybe we should go on from our expertise in radio and maybe go and do a music magazine. And the opportunity came around in college for a new music magazine or a new magazine, so we put in a proposal and they gave us a little bit of funding and we went from there.
Brilliant, so you got it. But what's different about this music magazine is, well, first of all, I have to say congratulations to you, because it does not come across like a kind of a student venture or anything amateurish about it. It's very, very professional, and in fact could provide some kind of alternative competition to the commercial music magazines that are out there. Was that ever a plan of yours or a hope?
Well, I don't know. Like, it's kind of like we just see how it goes. Like, we always wanted to try and make a good enough magazine as we could. Like, and we put a lot of time into the design and a lot of thought into what would make a difference. And we chose to run with illustrations on the front cover each time, and that really stands out. And I don't know, we'll have to see how it goes. Like, it's early days yet. Maybe one day we'll be able to bring it on and it will be commercially successful. But I think I'd like to keep it as a free magazine for as long as we could.
Well, that's one of the most important things about it. And obviously, well, where can people get it? Is it all over town, or is it just in Trinity?
Well, it's in Trinity College mostly, but also in Tower Records and on Shaw.
Church Joel. Bernard Shaw pub as well.
Cool. Yeah, so you can pick it up around the place. But I did want to ask you a little bit about the actual issue too at the moment as well, because there's tons and tons of bands interviews in there. LCD Sound System, Arcade Fire, Soul Wax, Amina, Animal Collective, Stars, Dysfunctional, King Toot, You're Only Massive. And that's one thing actually that is quite good about it, is the fact that it includes a lot of Irish bands as well as a kind of a very high-profile international mix. Was that always a goal, to kind of have the Irish kind of up-and-coming mixed with the international?
Yeah, well, I thought that like the best way we could do service to Irish acts was to slot them in between the international acts that we're getting. We were getting some great interviews with the first issue. We had Final Fantasy and Deerhoof, and like fitting bands like the Jimmy Cake in between them, or in this issue we had like Your Only Massive in between Soul Wax and Andrew Bird. Like, it, I think that's the best way we can, you know, promote Irish music.
I think we've tried really hard not to do Irish music just for the sake of it, if you know what I mean. Like, if a band is in there, it's because we all think they're great, or somebody really, really loves them and can say why, rather than just putting them in because they're Irish and, you know, go for what's Irish, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned there, Brent, the kind of illustrations that you're using. I did want to ask you a little bit about that, because that does make the magazine very different. And obviously, there's illustrations all the way through the magazine as well, and also the photographers you're using. Was the visual element something that you wanted to make really special?
Yeah, that was one of the main ethoses behind the magazine, was to try fuse it with something kind of more artistic and more creative than just music journalism. So the visuals are a major part for us, and we've got two great illustrators and some staff photographers as well, who are like brilliant. And hopefully one day we'll get to the stage where we don't need to use any like stock PR photos or anything like that. And at the moment we're probably about 70% there. Yeah. So,
and I see you use Lorena Rush, who did stuff for the NME Ireland when it was here.
Yeah.
In terms of the illustrators, who are they and where did you find them? Were they from Trinity as well?
No, neither of them are actually. Sarah is a personal friend of mine from childhood, and she goes to DIT and she's studying fine art, and she did the front cover for both issues. And then for the second issue, another girl came along called Zoe, and she's been helping us out. And she studied illustration and animation in Manchester, so I don't know, she just kind of emailed in and wanted to get involved, and we liked what she's had, so we...
So that's Sarah Jane Comerford and Zoe Manville.
Yeah, that's
the full
it.
Names. And,
yeah.
And you're in here, Brendan McGurk, as doing some illustrations as well.
Yeah, I thought I'd try my hand at it. I used to be very interested in art, but like doing a science degree in college kind of kills off most things creative in your life, so...
Well, that's one of the things I did want to ask you both about was, actually, your philosophy, aren't you, Gareth?
Psychology,
close. I'm sorry. So how do two science students, basically, get involved with a music magazine?
For me, I think it's a lot easier than for Bren. I have about 4 hours lectures a week, so you know, a lot of free time to develop your interests. Mm-hmm. But I think we've both, like as Bren said, been involved in the radio station for a number of years, and like heavily into our own sort of interests in music, and not so much the music scene in Dublin maybe, but what's happening internationally and stuff. Mm.
And it's a lot of work as well. That's something I did want to ask you about, because obviously you love music, and that's something that's, you know, in your own kind of personal lives, that's your interest there. But in terms of actually putting a magazine together, it's a lot of hard work, and you're both students. Bren, you do labs, you're in chemistry student, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a medicinal chemistry student, so I'm in labs most days from 9 to 5, and so I just try like organize the magazine on the phone while I'm like mixing your action with one hand and on the phone and the other, like organizing an interview with James Murphy or whoever, and then we do a lot of design in the evenings at the weekend, but it can be pretty hectic.
I think pretty much Bren does about 80% of the work on the magazine, to be fair to say, like just off his own back, which is insane really.
So it would want to be a labour of love, is it?
It is, yeah.
And do you think you'll carry it on for at least another year?
Yeah, hopefully. It's going well, and the momentum's starting to pick up now, and you know, some people are starting to take notice, and we've got some really nice emails in from people supporting us and on our MySpace from bands around Dublin, not necessarily just asking to be involved, but just saying, you know, you guys are great. Like we had a comment from Fight Like Apes saying, oh yeah, keep up the good work, and Darkroom Notes. So it's always nice to like have your peers and other music fans saying you're doing it right, yeah, doing a good job. So,
and the website is something I want to talk about, because Gareth, you control all that, and it's extremely comprehensive. So tell us a little bit about that. What's up there, what you can access, and what it does basically.
Sure, okay. Pardon me. We have obviously, we have a blog, which is kind of all the writers throw up regular things that happen, gigs they go to and stuff. But we also try and do something which I don't think other magazines do, which is we put up pretty much everything that's in the magazine available online, because basically it's a much greater promotional tool for us to be able to do that and to give people access to stuff. If they want to read it online, if they want to read it in the magazine, it's fair enough, you know, than to sort of hide it away and hope. I think you see a lot of sites and they're like a portfolio almost, but that's of no interest to anyone, you know. We want to make somewhere where people can go read all of our articles, comment on all of them, subscribe to different authors, different genres, whatever they want.
So it's very interactive as well then, yeah?
Yeah, we build it on a blogging platform, so it's very, like, you can comment on everything, you can subscribe to everything.
And that, I presume, steps in when the magazine doesn't come out for, say, a couple of months or whatever. Yep. That's the website's always updated, is it?
Well, we try, yeah.
Well, give out the website there. I think it's analogmagazine.com, is
that's
it?
That's the one, yeah.
And that's analog spelled the correct way, not the American way. ANALOGUE. magazine.com. Thank you so much for coming in and joining me this morning.
Thanks,
Gareth Stack and Brendan McGurk, editor and web editor of Analog Magazine. The new issue's out now. It's free and you can get it in Trinity, in the George Bernard Shaw, in Tower, and we'll see somewhere else. Around town.
Yeah, most good pubs.
Most good pubs. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. And actually, one of the interviews in the magazine this month is with LCD Sound System, so we're going to play this. We had a request in for this morning.